And welcome to a question. Well, we're still having technical problems with our music intro, so I apologize for that. Welcome to Equestrian Legacy Radio. We come to you every Thursday at noon Central Standard Time, and we hope to bring you some interesting information on the Tennessee walking horse and all of its various disciplines. But in addition to talking about walking horses, I think for any breed of horse that you enjoy, you'll find our programming informative. So I certainly hope so, and that's the intent of the program. We're fortunate to have some great guests with us today, Russ Walker-Kieser and Denise Bader-Kieser from Wemding, Germany are on the phone with us, and we're going to be talking with them in just a moment. But I've asked a young lady who is getting to be really good on the radio to join us, and that's Ola Archer. Hi, Ola. How are you?
Hi, Mr. Gary. I'm wonderful today.
Well, great. Ola is with a group of folks that have put together a page on Facebook called TWH Friends Helping Friends, Tennessee Walking Horse Friends Helping Friends. And they've been doing some great things to help folks in the walking horse family when they're going through some really tough times. And so, Ola, what I'd like you to do is just kind of catch us up a little bit on what the purpose is for TWH Friends Helping Friends and what's been going on since we talked the last time. And then we'll talk about things that are going on today that I think are pretty exciting for folks. So tell us what the purpose is and what you've been doing.
All righty, Gary. Thank you so much for having me on again. The page, TWH Friends Helping Friends, has been going 3-4 weeks now. We wanted to get the word out, and I kind of pitched this idea to Mr. Randall Baskin, who bought off on the idea and felt it was a wonderful idea, and I just need to send out a huge thanks to the Randall Baskin family for all that they have done. Mr. Baskin donated our first stud fee, which was to the 2002 World Grand Champion, out on parole for silent auction. Myself and Tammy Valmus and Susan Shelton are kind of overseeing this, and we felt the first recipient of monies raised should go to Connie Bobo and her husband, Mr. Bill, who have had just some tremendous financial difficulties due to Miss Connie's medical issues. The Oops Stud Fee ended this past Sunday. We raised $1,300 just off of that one stud fee, with all monies going into a fund for Miss Connie. People are literally coming out of the woodwork, making donations, offering things for the silent auction, offering the Bobos emotional support. We all have just been overwhelmed.
Well, Ola, and let me mention, too, for folks that may not be aware, Friends Helping Friends is a group that is trying to help folks in the walking horse family that have some problems due to illnesses and maybe some other things. But Connie, for the last couple of years, has been dealing with a couple of really serious and rare diseases. One of those is one called CVID, and the other is myasthenia gravis, and both of these are very debilitating and have really taken a toll on Connie as far as her health is concerned, and really has drained the finances of the family, having to deal with the medical and non-medical costs that they're faced with. So I know that this past week I've seen some folks, as you said, coming out and really making some tremendous donations to the online auctions that you have. Tell us a couple of those in addition to the out on parole.
Okay. Well, Mr. Baskin, we wanted to jumpstart this whole page, and it is Tennessee Walking Horse Friends Helping Walking Horse Friends. And I had been helped, and I'm wanting to help pay it forward. And Mr. Baskin just didn't even blink an eye when he offered his stud fee to jumpstart this whole silent auction raising money. And we had a lot of excitement and a lot of bidding. And that stud fee is going to a lady, Shannon Cottle, over in North Carolina. What we are trying to do is to take it a thing or two at a time, to get it out there, to advertise it, try to get everybody aware of. After the Oops Studs fee, Miss P.J. Womble, and this was really exciting, offered a full stallion photo session. And that auction just finished last night at about 6 o'clock, and that was purchased by Miss Sue Ann Dowell. And like I said, all of these monies are going for Miss Connie's medical expenses. We've come right behind PJ's photo shoot, and this is, we're getting a lot of action on this also. Rising Star and the people that own World Grand Champion Watch It Now. We have a stud fee going at silent auction for Watch It Now.
Okay, and so and I think, too, that you had a real generous donation from Carrie and Spencer Benedict earlier in the week where they donated two stud fees to the World Grand Champion, the whole nine yards, and I believe those were gone in just a few hours. So
thank you. I didn't have them in my notes, and yes, Carrie, they didn't even last an hour. Carrie graciously, as not part of an auction, but just for a stud fee, because the Benedicts love Bill and Connie, and then we only had the one stud fee, and someone came back and said, I want one. So I went back to Carrie and says, will you do a second one? And she said, absolutely, for Bill and Connie. So that was two stud fees to the whole nine yards.
Well, that just shows the outpouring of support that the Walking Horse family has for people that are going through some tough times. Do you have an idea how much has been raised for that effort so far?
I spoke with the lady at the bank. All of this money is running through the church and goes into an account at Regions Bank. And when I spoke with her yesterday and she did not have a complete tally, that we were already up over $9,000. And people are sending in $10 donations. She opened an envelope with cash. And we also take PayPal if someone would just like to make a small financial donation.
Well, that's great. Now, I know that if folks are on Facebook, they can go to TWH Friends Helping Friends, and they can bid on the different items that are up for auction there and also find out more information about what Friends Helping Friends is all about and what they're doing for people. And you'll be doing this for other folks in addition to the Bobo family, I think, as time goes on. Is that right?
That was the original intent. We're kind of on a mission for Miss Bobo at the moment, and I do know there are a few others that are really hurting with some medical expenses that will be next.
Well, that's great. Now, again, people can go to TWH Friends Helping Friends on Facebook. Also, if you go to our website, www.equestrianlegacy.net, you can find out more information about the Friends Helping Friends and how you can donate. If you don't bid on an item, you can also make donations there, and the information is on our website to help you to do that. So, Ola, thank you so much for everything that you guys are doing. Go ahead.
Mr. Gary, man, I've got something that hasn't even gone up on the page yet that I am just totally blown away with. Once we get through with the Win Stud Fee, and it ends tomorrow, Friday night, the 31st at 7 o'clock, we're going to start an auction on a commissioned Billy Nipper portrait.
Well, that's fantastic.
I'm just tickled to death, and we've got jewelry already donated, we've got advertising, we've got more stud fees. Right now on the page, there's a basket of beef jerky. I mean, we're trying to have something for everybody.
Well, that's great. Well, listen, Ola, thanks so much for sharing that information with us, and I know that everybody appreciates the outreach that your group is doing, and we appreciate that so much. And I encourage people to go online and be sure and bid on the Watch It Now stud fee. That ends at 7 o'clock tomorrow evening. And Ola, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
And thank you so much.
All right. God bless you. Bye-bye.
And you too. Bye.
One other thing let me mention to you. We had J.W. Morgan that was on last week. And, of course, everyone is aware of the challenges that the people in Oklahoma are dealing with. Again, because we are a horse family and we reach out, there has been a Oklahoma disaster relief program that's set up. And I think that is to deliver horse feed to the people in Oklahoma that are hurting. So the last report I had on that was that there have been over 20,000 pounds of horse feed that has been donated, and that will be going to Oklahoma to help the folks out there. So we appreciate so much the efforts of people in the horse community to try to reach out and help people that are in need. You can go to www.TennesseeWalkingHorseToday.com, www.TennesseeWalkingHorseToday.com, and find out more information about how you might be able to make a donation to help that effort to help the folks in Oklahoma that are going to be struggling for quite some time now. So be sure and check that website out and look for information there. Well, I am excited to have our next two guests with us, and we've been looking forward to having them on the show for quite some time, and that is Denise Bader Kaiser and her husband Russell Walker Kaiser. So good afternoon and welcome to the two of you.
Hey, glad to be here. Thanks for inviting us and looking forward to this.
Well, that's great. You know, I'm really excited about the popularity of the walking horse throughout this country and the way that it continues to grow outside of the United States. I know we have walking horses in Canada, and we had some people that contacted us last week that are listening to the programs from South America. I know we have horses that are registered in Italy and Israel and other places, but you're from Wemding, Germany. And so, Denise, let me start with you. Tell me a little bit about how you got started with your interest in horses, period, and then how that became an interest in the Tennessee walking horse.
Well, I'll be glad to. My dad had ponies in his childhood, and he quit riding probably, or they quit having the ponies when he was probably about 13, 14 years old, and my dad didn't ride ever since then. And when my brother was about 5 years old and I was 3 years old, he wanted to start having riding lessons and wanted to get to know horses. And we had a little riding school in a town in Wemding that we lived in. And they just had hunter jumpers and dressage horses and regular riding lessons offered. And my brother started riding. And, of course, Denise had to go, wanted to be around horses too. And my brother quit after probably a couple riding lessons, and I was addicted. So I stayed with him, and I rode and had several lessons in the week. And my dad wanted to go back to riding horses probably when I was about 8 or 9 years old, but he didn't want to keep riding in the riding arena. He wanted to go outside. And back at that day, they wouldn't offer to take the 100 jumpers. They wouldn't offer even to take him out riding. And so he started looking around what other options there were for trail riding horses. And Ron Powell, was one of the main people that imported horses to Germany and to Europe and tried to spread the walking horse over there. And he read an article in a horse magazine about Tennessee walking horses and how Mr. Powell was offering riding weekends to get to know the walking horse. So when I was 9, my dad booked a riding weekend to go there to learn about this horse. And we went there, and we spent about 3 days riding there, and we rode all day, and they wouldn't let me go riding outside because I was only 9 years old. So I had to stay at the barn, and they had this little baby colt out in the field, and he was a stud, and I went in the field and I started petting on him and I fell in love. So my dad had to listen to me cry all the way home for about 4 hours of car ride that Denise wanted this horse. So it took me to convince him for probably about 4 to 5 weeks that this was just not a moment, this was not just a phase, and I wanted to do horses and I wanted to do Tennessee walking horses. And about 5 weeks later, that little walking horse stud was standing in our backyard. So that's how it started.
You know, I think a lot of times the way that that people get started is as a very young person, and
yes.
and little girls seem to have a great way to work on their dads to get what they want. So,
sure enough.
That is fantastic. Now, let me ask, how long ago was that, Denise?
I'm
not trying to
figure
out your age now. I just
that was in 96.
In 96. All right. Well, that's been almost 20 years, not quite 17, I guess. So that's a long time. Well, Russ, tell me a little bit about how you got started in horses.
I was born on a Tennessee walking horse ranch in Montana. So I tell everybody that. Actually, my dad was winning the state class in Missoula, Montana, the night I was being born.
Wow.
So they were pulling around trying to figure out what to name me, and Tennessee didn't sound good, but Walker fit in the middle of my name. So that's, this is my destiny.
Well, that's great. So I've wondered how Walker came to be and that you were involved in walking horses. I thought that was pretty appropriate, so I'm glad to know that story. Now, I know, Russ, you came and trained in Tennessee for a while, didn't you?
Yes, I've trained everywhere. I started out in Montana and had to move to a bigger and better show circuit. So when I graduated from high school, I moved to Washington State in Oregon and trained there for probably 5 years, just starting out. And I got lucky enough to get a training job in Reno, Nevada, and I trained there for probably 3.5 years, and was lucky enough to get to go to the celebration and come and see how Tennessee worked. And those folks were getting out of the business, and just at that time, some folks in Canada came into it, and I trained there for 3 years or so and came to the celebration a couple times. And out away from here, the business is hard to support and keep things motivating like it is in Tennessee, where everybody comes and there's a more of a set up business here.
Right.
So the man in Canada decided, well, it'd be best that Russ be in Middle Tennessee. So they moved me to Middle Tennessee, and I was here for, I'd say, 15 years or so, and heck, survived and really promoted pleasure horses and sold horses from here everywhere. So Denise came in one day and wanted to learn how to train walking horses and promote them in Europe, and that was just too cool.
That's great. So you guys met in Tennessee then, when she was coming down here for a while to learn about training walking horses. So that's great. That is great.
Yep.
Well, let me ask you, and I know this is something that I have wondered about. What are the differences between showing in Tennessee, because both of you show in Tennessee. I know that you still come to Tennessee to show, and you're here at least once or twice a year. What are the differences between showing in Tennessee and showing in Europe? And
Joe,
Denise, let me throw that one to you.
Well, first of all, I mean, the quality of horses, I mean, is still a big difference I mean, you can show in Middle Tennessee, I mean, you showing against the, you know, the horse, the top horses in the world, and, of course, also some of the top riders in the world. So, I mean, it's a lot harder to do really good over in Middle Tennessee, of course, but also over in Europe, we are more in the place where we try to help people to get started, to show. We more putting on the shows or putting the people in the ring to experience that same feeling that we can experience when we show in Middle Tennessee. So we're more trying to help it over there than really show against the people. We're more trying to grow the market over there, and we only show really our horses when there is a good place to show them or where it's suitable, where we see it's okay to do so.
Okay. Well, that brings up another question. How many horse shows, how many opportunities to show are there in Germany? And let me follow up on that with another question. You have Germany, but you have Poland, you have Belgium, you have people in other countries that are all coming together to show, aren't they?
Yes. We put on one show that is always at the beginning of the year, which is the German Championship, and we always put it on in Germany. And then we have the TWIBA European Championship, which is always at the end of the year, and we now having two little fun shows in the middle of the year, which are kind of combined with the trail ride at the beginning of the day, and then they have a couple classes at the end of the day and the next day. And then we have not been able to put on the Netherlands Championships for a couple of years now, but it has been going on. And it's just we don't have really enough people. Since everything is so spread apart, it's so hard for all the people to travel that far. So most of the shows are being held in Germany. It's just because we have the most active show people in Germany. But we do have active people from Belgium, Netherlands, Denmark, Luxembourg, Switzerland, Poland. We have people, I hope I didn't miss anybody. We really have people from everywhere that come and show, but it's just not quite enough people within each country to put on a separate show in that country, if that makes any
cool.
sense.
It does. It's not like being in the Southeast where we have two or three shows a weekend going on somewhere. So
no, unfortunately, we're not there yet. Not there yet.
Right. Well, go ahead, Russ.
People in Europe think about road trip a little bit different than we do. We don't mind, you know, jumping in the car and hooking up to the trailer and driving 5 hours to a horse show and, you know, hooking back up and driving home. I mean, it's in our mind that it's possible. Well, to most of them, it's a really complicated thing, and it just they haven't grasped that they're able to do that. I mean, it's to drive 100 miles, and with the gas prices and with the way things are, it's just they just don't, you know, it's a big hassle to drive a long ways or do things, and it's getting that way here, but that's the way that it is there for a while. So it's just the thought of, you know, what we do is, you know, sure, we can do it, you know, us Americans think we can do anything. Anyway, it's the way we think and the way they are. They, you know, they think in 100 kilometer thoughts. It's just too different. Hopefully, you know, we got to get in their plans. They got to plan it for, you know, a year ahead of time. And the more we can get ahead and get where they know it's happening and they know they can make it, that's kind of where we got to get it going.
Right,
that makes sense, what I'm saying. It does.
I think probably too that there may be some challenges, and I don't know. I'm just as you're talking, I'm thinking as you go from one country to another, there may be some challenges that are dealt with that we don't have here if we're just driving within the United States to go to a show.
Different regulations from each country. I mean, the European Union, it's a little easier, but you still need, you know, if you go from the Netherlands just down to Germany for 1 week and you need health papers, and it's a big deal if you are a private owner that just owns one or two horses that wants to go just for a weekend somewhere. It's a big hassle to go through to even do that. So.
And it adds up.
Well, I'm sure that it does. Let me take a minute and mention to our listeners today that this is a call-in show, and you're welcome to call in and ask your questions. The number that you can call is 213-943-3396, 213-943-3396. And we welcome your calls. I'm sure that you might have some questions about the things that are going on outside of the United States with the walking horse industry. And that would apply to other breeds as well, because there are many breeds that are represented in the different countries. And that's another question that I have for you is, how difficult is it to introduce people to the walking horse when they may be accustomed to showing in another discipline or another breed? Russ, let me throw that one to you.
Well, the hardest thing to do is to break people's habits of how they're first taught how to ride a horse. A lot of the English style disciplines, people want to just pull on their mouth and kick them, and we're trying to sit them on there and just tell them, the walking horse, you just kind of let it happen. You don't have to make it happen. And that's a real hard thing for people, just to sit on there and relax and get them to, hey, you know, just let him do it, instead of try to make him take every step that he takes, if that makes sense, what I'm saying. They're just, they've got their certain riding styles that they believe, and that's what they're taught, and that's the way all horses are supposed to work, how people, they first learn how to operate one. And but as soon as they can get around that, why, it's really easy to get them to ride them. And it's really, it's rewarding to me to just see them smile when they get to ride one.
Well, I know it's a pleasure to get people to go from one breed to the walking horse. As I've gotten older, it's much more comfortable to ride a walking horse than a non-gated breed. Denise, what are the major breeds that you see in Europe, in Germany?
Well, the different breed of the warm blood horses, you know, the Hanoverians, and they are still the biggest ones. Quarter horses are really big over there. Arabians are very big. The Frisian horses were kind of really big for a while, but a lot of people figured out they're better driving horses than riding horses. So mm-hmm. that kind of went down a little bit. But just the different breed of the warm blood horses, because of all the hunter seats over there and the jumping and the dressage, are still the biggest, and I would say followed by the quarter horses, just because everybody wants to be a cowboy.
Gotcha. And let me mention, next week we have a cowboy coming on the show. Marty Luffman, who does cowboy mounted shooting, rides a walking horse, Doc Holliday. And I know that Marty travels all over the U.S., but he's also gone to Europe and Germany to put on some clinics for the cowboy-mounted shooting. So one of the things that we like to make people aware of is that walking horses are able to do anything any other breed can do, but you also have the benefit of that extremely smooth and comfortable gait that we have with our breed that you don't find elsewhere. As far as gated breeds that are in Europe, you know, I'm familiar with Icelandic ponies. Is that a fairly big breed for folks in Germany?
Very big over there. Yes, very, uh-huh. very. I would say the Icelandic horse is still the biggest ones over there. Then I would probably say that the walking horse comes right behind them, and then we got some saddlebreds over in Germany, Pasofinos, Pasoporanos, all the different versions of them, and they're really big on promoting the Mangalagers over there now, which is the Brazilian horses, and that is pretty much the ones that are out and showing and trying to promote.
Okay. How are you able to promote the Tennessee walking horse in Germany and in Europe? How are you exposing people to our breed? Denise?
Well, we do try to go to all the possible fairs that we can go to. We have pretty much exposed them to the bigger fairs in Germany, which one of them is Equitana, which is actually one of the world's biggest horse fairs that happens every second year, and it just happened in March, and it's an event that goes on for 10 days. And then they have every other year, they have in Eurocheval, which is right on the borderline to Switzerland and France and Austria. So we kind of, having several countries right there on the borderline, and we're promoting there, and which is supposed to be Europe's biggest horse fair. And then we've been to Italy, we've been to Poland, and then there's a few other little fairs that, just go on for a couple of days. And that's really the biggest places we expose them to. Is so we try to just put on exhibitions. We have usually an info booth. We try to let some of the people ride as much as we can, let them touch them, let them feel them, let them see them. And then we just try to do advertising, offer riding weekends, information days. At the horse shows, we usually offer an advertising magazine that we offer test rides at the end of the show day. Just any possible chance we can get to people.
Okay. Now let me ask this, and by the way, I didn't mention, but you are a vice president with the Tennessee Walking Horse Breeders and Exhibitors Association, and so you're involved with the association on an international level. How much does the Breeders Association help and contribute to the different events that you put on?
Well, the Breeders Association does get support from USLGE, which is a government program that helps promote the breed outside the USA, which the funds that they get from them, they use it for everything. They use it for Canada, they use it for Israel, they use it for Germany, any other country in Europe. We really don't get a whole lot of support just because the funds are very short.
Right.
Tweeba usually tries to put on one fair a year, and that's really actually just those two fairs that they've been doing for over 20 years. And Tweeba has been part and been a member of those fairs for the past 20 years, which is Equitana and Eurocheval. And like I said, Equitana happened this year, so Eurocheval will happen next year. And that's really the only fairs they really support or they can support with the funds. And they usually do the info booth, and then our exhibitors over in Europe try to pay for their horses, try to pay for all the other expenses. It's not what everybody thinks that, ooh, the Breeders Association throws all this money over to Europe, because there is not that many funds. And so really the European members try to support it all they can and try to also help the Breeders Association expand over in Europe. So it's
okay.
Kind of a working together process. But that's really the only two things, and then the Breeders Association puts on their European Championship for the European members, and usually they try to provide a judge and help with the facility. But that's really all they do, all they can do.
Gotcha. Well, let me ask you, since you mentioned the German Championships, Russ, that was just, 2 weeks ago?
Yes, sir.
And how many horses and entries did you have in that show? And I actually saw some video from one of the classes over there. It looked like a lot of fun. But tell me a little bit about the German Championships and how much participation that you had this year. And how is that run compared to a show here in the States?
We try to do the best job of copying what they do here. It would probably coincide a lot with the way the woe shows that they put on, except for we make it in the style of the international, and we have probably 100 or nearly 100 classes, and I'd say that this year there wasn't too many classes that they run from 4 to 8 pretty much in every class, and halter, versatility classes. We have a division over there where we let people show them barefoot in the sand, so
mm-hmm.
that they can ride their horses that they don't put shoes on, and And then we have Trail Pleasure, Country Pleasure, and then we have a light shod class is the max of what we show with over there, and that's more our action class and our state class, so to say, and it's just good competition, and it's a really, really good start to go somewhere.
Well, it looked like people were having a lot of fun in the video that I saw. And how many entries did you have this year for the German Championship, Denise?
We had 486 entries. That was 70 more compared to last year.
That's great. That is great.
Yeah.
Would you say that did you have people that were not exhibitors that were showing? I mean, were there just people that knew that there was a German Championship going on that came that were not involved with the walking horses that were exposed to that?
Well, we had, as far as spectators, we've really had all kinds of different people. We got a lot of people that just want to know something about the walking horses, come and use that time because they can see more things and more the variety at all at one time. And we had, you know, just some people just to come check it out, and then some that were just already trying to get more involved or had more questions to ask. And then as far as participants, we had what was nice to see that we actually had some very new people that had never came to a show or that had never come to the German Championship actually participate. So that was good.
Well, that's fantastic. What's the opportunity for growth for the Tennessee Walking Horse in Germany and in Europe and these other countries, Belgium, Poland, the Netherlands, and so forth? What does that look like?
There's all kinds of possibilities. It's just sometimes we were just more short on horses that are ready to go ride than anything. We do try to import horses, and a lot of people that get straight into the horse, into the walking horse, they try to come to the U.S. and import. So there is really a lot of requests for the horses. It's just, you know, it's different to them. So there's a little bit more progress involved, you know, kind of get them on a horse, see what they want, you know, just try to get riding. And everything is so far apart, and the German mentality or the European is, you know, we have to have help with this. So unless they have somebody that's really close to their place, if they're going to end up buying a horse,
mm-hmm.
they just need somebody that can help them, give them lessons, and help them with the gait of the horse and keep them doing what they're supposed to do. And that is just, since there's not many riding instructors or trainers over there, that's hard for the people to adjust to, just seeing how they can get it once they got one. And that's what kind of scares a few people to jump right in it. They kind of feel like they need a little bit more time.
I understand. Is there, Russ, is there an opportunity for more trainers to come to Europe and maybe start a practice over there?
Well, it's difficult. It's a little difficult to get permission and to get in there. But I believe that if they had some help from there, that it wouldn't be too tough of a deal. But I say that the opportunity is wide open. But I'm going to say, just like the opportunity in America is wide open, and we need to build a support system for the Tennessee Walking Horse everywhere. And what I say by a support system is people that can come in there and give riding lessons and help people with what they need help with, whatever it is. The certified, you know, riding and training programs and all that is a beautiful start, but we really need to spend a lot of time getting the education base started for people so that they can have that and reach out and get it wherever they are in the world.
You know, and that's all true, and I was thinking, and a question that came to mind a minute ago is, from where you're located in Wemding, where is the next closest walking horse facility? Where the next closest walking horse folks?
I would say...
That's a difficult one.
Hour away. There's not necessarily a big organized place. What would you say is the closest, honey?
Well, I would probably say towards Frankfurt, which is probably like 3-4 hours, is the closest one that's big enough that offers, you know, riding lessons and training and sales and braiding. That is really, I would say, the closest one. But
okay.
It's like 3-4 hours away. And the rest are just, you know, very, you know, private breeders that do sell one on occasion or have a couple babies that they end up selling or raise until they can ride him, but it's very private.
Gotcha. Well, and that's another question that I have for you. What does it cost to import a horse into Germany or Europe from the United States? Rush, you can answer that one.
I would say roughly about $5,000 a piece. It's if you can ship three and have three going, it's the best way you can keep that price at that, because that's the way that the horses come over in a container of threes. So it depends on how your timing is, and if you only have one, you got to be lucky enough to fit in a slot somewhere, or it might cost more money if you're not lucky enough to fit in a slot with three. But that's and it can it just depends on sometimes just like airfare. Sometimes it's a little higher and a little longer, and depends on where you're coming from and where you're going.
Now, I suppose that a lot of brood mares are imported that are in foal. That helps a little bit as far as maybe getting a 2-for-1.
Well, that seems to be a lot of people's plan.
Okay. All right. Now, another question that I have is what do walking horses sell for in Europe? I mean, if you have a horse for sale, what kind of pricing are we looking at? I know what they are over here in the States. What kind of prices do we look at in Europe?
Go, Denise.
Well, we try to raise, you know, the highest quality of horses, and we do, you know, always try to get new bloodlines in, so we constantly import ourselves, you know, to keep breeding for always the best horse. But we usually try to price our weanlings starting at €3,000, and then everything that's a little older. See, we can't really break them to ride that early because they really don't like seeing that happening in Germany or in Europe. So our yearlings, 2-year-old up to a 3-year-old, they run about starting at $5,000. And once we can start them to ride, they usually start at about €7,500.
Okay. All right. And that brings up another question. And you have different regulations and rules that are government imposed. You know, I've had people that have talked about, and you can clarify this for me a little bit, you're not allowed to do certain clipping on a horse, I've heard. And tell me a little bit about that, Denise, and what those differences would be.
The biggest difference is that we cannot clip any hair around their nose and their eyes. That is the main thing, because they treat that like an organ. So it equals same as we cannot cut dogs' tails anymore over in Germany. So that equals to them the same. That is the law, that, you know, any hair on the nose or the eyes has to stay. And we can, you know, bridle pass and all the other hair is all right. The ear, we can only clip the outside of the ear, and we can, you know, kind of the edge, but we cannot really go down in the ear shell because, you know, it's not really a law. It's more a guideline, the ears. But if somebody would want to try to hang you on it, they could, if you were to have an ear fully clipped. So.
Right. And so I guess if you had any long hairs that were sticking out, you can clip them. You just can't go in and clip a close clip. Is that right? On the ears?
You cannot clip down at the bottom of the ear. We can clean them up pretty good where it's like when you have a nice edge and a nice, you know, top of the ear. We can do all that. We just cannot go down in the very bottom of it. We can even shorten the hair up a little bit, but we just cannot do the very bottom of the ear.
Gotcha. What about shoeing requirements? Or what are the limitations that they have on shoeing? Russ?
Your ears.
Go
or
ahead,
Denise? Man. Yeah, Denise.
Oh, you go, Russ. Good.
Pretty much. The shoeing requirements here, they are just a basic shoe. I believe that they're allowed to have a shoe that's 10 millimeters thick, which is close to a half-inch thick, and they haven't really have too many requirements on the width of it, as far as the law knows that I know, but as long as it's not, you know, it's safe and protected for the horse, and it won't hurt him, I think it's okay.
Okay. You have a lot of folks over there that ride and show barefoot?
We do. There's a new barefoot wave out that everybody's jumped on, but it all depends on where you ride, what you can do. If you ride on the roads, you need to put some kind of protection on them.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I know that there are differences, and it's sometimes if you're here in the States, it's kind of hard to wrap your head around the legal requirements of the way that livestock may be treated in Europe. And I have a Doberman Pinscher. I have a Doberman. Russ, is that, or Denise, y'all kind of be still on your phone there.
All right.
Everything picks up on these things. So I know I have a Doberman Pinscher that I adopted, and she has her dock tail and her cropped ears. Now, I wouldn't be cropping her ears if I were doing it, but I'd be in trouble if I came over there, I guess, with my dog.
You would not get in trouble coming over. It's just you could not end up doing it over there. I mean, you could not have her little puppies and then go ahead and do it. But you would not in Germany, you would not have trouble actually having the dog like that, because a lot of people still import them and just keep them over in Germany. But
right.
In other European countries, you could not even keep the dog like that.
Gotcha. Yeah. Well, I know, again, I'd like to make it clear that there are differences that we have to deal with, you know, if we're traveling with our horses and some different requirements that people sometimes have a hard time getting their head wrapped around here in the United States. What do you have coming up in Germany or Europe now that we can look forward to? Are there any events that, any shows that are coming up? Denise?
We're not going to have any fairs this summer that we're going to go to, but we're going to have a little fun show in the first weekend of July that's going to be taking place in the north of Germany at another family's place that raise and sell walking horses. And it's going to be a two-day event. We're going to be doing a little trail riding at the first day, and like I said, having a little some practice the afternoon and the next day, and that is going to be the next thing. And then we're going to have the European Championship in September. But the summer is going to be pretty quiet. We're just going to try to do a lot of lessons and education and riding weekends and let the people know about this beautiful horse.
Well, that's fantastic. How much trail riding is done in your part of the country, and what other activities are people involved with their horses besides just showing? Are they involved in versatility or?
Trail riding is very, very, very big. It's a little bit different kind of trail riding than in Middle Tennessee. I mean, I went on some Middle Tennessee trail rides, and they're a lot different. But it's just, see, most of the people own their horses private, and they keep them boarded somewhere. And then they go, you know, like after work, they go for a two-hour trail ride or something. And then there's some big organized trail rides that go on for like a week or something. And then different versatility things are happening, but it's mostly involved when it's some kind of event or something that's already going on.
Okay. The trail rides that are done in Germany are, you know, we have our national parks and forest over here, a lot of open land. How is it in Germany?
Yes, I mean it's. I haven't been on one of those trail rides over here, so I may not be proper here and correct on what I'm saying. But there is. I mean, those trail rides they're putting on in Germany. I mean, there is in different places, and a lot of time through the different areas where they're special for something. So, like, if there's just a lot of pretty mountains, that's what they're going to put on a trail ride right there. So it's just different, but it's organized, and, you know, where you have places to stay and to eat, and then you just be riding for so many hours a day, and then you stop and rest, and then you go again. So
I have to say something. A lot of Germany doesn't have fences.
Okay.
So wherever you are, you got land, lots of land, and it's not fenced in, so you can ride around the farmer's fields, and pretty much it's wide open to ride. It's a country made for walking horses. They just need to learn more about it.
Well, that's great. That is great. Last week we had on the show Tracy Pinson, and, you know, she does the Extreme Cowboy races, and I was able to visit that event last Saturday and just thoroughly enjoyed watching that, and was happy to know that there's a Ride Smart division for old folks like me. Is that something that is starting to catch hold in your area, as well as events like the Cowboy Mounted Shooting?
I think there would be a lot of interest. I think we just need to go ahead and put it on. But a lot of people have been watching Tracy Pinson on the internet, and, I mean, they love it. So I think this is going to be the next place that needs to get started.
Well, it's pretty exciting. And when you mentioned earlier that there were a lot of folks that were into quarter horses because they all wanted to be cowboys, I thought that would be a great way to introduce some people into an event that they could participate with their walking horse in. Let me remind folks, we have just a little bit of time left. If you'd like to call in with any questions, you can. It's 213-943-3396, 213-943-3396. And, again, this is a live show, and so sometimes we have quite a few callers and sometimes we don't have too many. I know that when we started the broadcast early, there were some calls that were on the line, and then before we finished with our conversation, they were gone. So you're certainly welcome to call in if you'd like, and talk to Denise and Russ and ask any questions or make any comments that you'd like to make. What do you see happening with walking horse in Europe for the next couple of years? Denise, is do you see it growing? How much has it grown? And I think before we started our phone call today, that I asked about how many walking horses that there were in Germany and Europe right now.
I like I said before, I think there is probably about 800-900 walking horses in Germany. I think there is more across Europe, but it's kind of hard to keep track of it because, unfortunately, not everybody keeps track of their transfers or their registrations probably. And so we kind of losing the number to see where we're really at. But I really think, I mean, we've been seeing a huge growth in the horse the Tennessee walking horse over in Germany or Europe. I mean, we had several new customers coming in from the outside countries like Luxembourg, Switzerland, Austria. I mean, just their other countries around. And, I mean, of course, Poland. I mean, Ms. Fryer is doing a great job promoting the horse over there. And there's a lot of growth happening, and it's happening, I mean, like every day. And I think it's going to sure enough take off. And the more positive news we can spread about this horse and educate the people about the entire breed, the more it's going to happen. And just the education is the only thing I think we need to work on, and that it sure enough can take off for sure. But it's definitely happening, and it's going to keep happening.
Great, great. Well, I appreciate everything that that you do, Denise and Russ, as far as promoting the Tennessee Walking Horse in Germany and throughout Europe. And I think that we just have positive things to look for as far as the continued growth of the Tennessee Walking Horse, both there and throughout the rest of the world. So we're excited about that. Any final thoughts, Russ, that you'd like to share with us?
Heck, it's a big world, and we got the greatest horse in the world to deal with, and we just got to find the way to put people on him, and the rest takes care of itself.
All right. Well, that's an amen to that. Denise, anything that you'd like to leave us with before we're gone today?
No, just kind of around the same line Russ was saying. I do think that we have the world's greatest show and pleasure horse, and it's just the people that are already involved, it's our job to tell it the next person and get him on that horse and let him feel him and, heck, let him get addicted.
Well, again, if you ride one today, you'll own one tomorrow. I think that's what we used to use as a slogan in that. So, again,
it's still
happening. It's still happening. Yep. It's still happening.
We need to figure out how to support those that bought them tomorrow is what we got to figure out how to do. And keep them enthused and keep them looking forward to going to get on their horse tomorrow.
Well, that's great. Well, listen, thanks again so much for taking the time to be with us today, and thank you again for everything that you're doing to help to promote the horse in Europe, and look forward to talking with both of you soon. Thanks, Russ, and thanks, Denise.
Thank you for having us. I enjoyed it, and looking forward to talking to you again.
Well, thank
Amen.
You so much.
Keep up with the good work.
Well, thanks so much. Thank you both very much. Bye-bye.
You bet. Bye.
All right, well, it was great to have Russ and Denise on the phone with us today, and appreciate, again, everything that they're doing to help to promote the Tennessee Walking Horse and the other members of the association that we have in Europe that are doing their part to expose people to the Tennessee Walking Horse. A couple of things that I wanted to mention before we close the show today. There are some events that are going on here in Middle Tennessee that I wanted to make you aware of. First of all, on June the 1st, and I believe that's on Saturday, Bill Reed at Shady Creek Farm is having, I think this is his second or third year to do this, a Kids with Special Needs Horse Show. And they had a great turnout for that last year. We'd encourage you to find out about that show and support it. It starts at 9:00 in the morning on Saturday, and you can contact Bill Reed at Shady Creek Farm at comcast.net for information on that. Bill Reed at Shady Creek Farm at comcast.net, and that's on Saturday. Kids with Special Needs. Also, on June the 1st, we have the National Trails Day that's kicking off. And if you have a horse, get out and ride this weekend and educate people about the Tennessee Walking Horse. And people know that it's a great trail horse, but we want to talk a little bit about the breed and get out and enjoy a beautiful weekend across the country as we celebrate National Trails Day on June the 1st. Also in Middle Tennessee, the Columbia Spring Jubilee is going on May 31st through the June 1st in Columbia, Tennessee. They always have a great horse show, and if you haven't experienced one of our horse shows in Middle Tennessee, that's one not to miss. The Pleasure Walking Horse Association of Tennessee has a show June the 1st at Bedford Ag Center in Shelbyville, Tennessee. And so they'll have some great horses there. I believe they have 48 classes, and that starts at 4:00 in Shelbyville at the Bedford County Ag Center. Two other things that I wanted to mention. Tennessee Walking Horse Breeders and Exhibitors Association has a breeders incentive program that's going on, and this is an opportunity for you to register your foals at a tremendous discount for registration, as well as to register horses or transfer horses that you haven't in the past. And you can do that without any type of late fees or penalties. And so that ends on July the 1st Don't wait on that. It's a great opportunity to go ahead and get your horse registered or transferred if you haven't had an opportunity to do that beforehand. We have the Tennessee Walking Horse Breeders and Exhibitors Association World Versatility Show that will be at the Miller Coliseum in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, at the end of July. The dates on that are the 25th and the 27th. And it's a great time to get out and see the different things that the Tennessee Walking Horse can do. Everything from jumping to pole bending to barrel racing to reining classes to flat shod classes as well. A lot of kids are involved in this, and it's a great opportunity to get out and help support these young people and some of the older folks as well. July 25th and 27th at the World Versatility Show in Murfreesboro, Tennessee at the Miller Coliseum. And then on the 28th, the Breeders' Futurity will be held at the same facility. They've added some new classes, some things that you haven't seen before. I'm excited about the fact that they're having a Get of Sire class. So they'll have stallions with some of their babies that they've sired there. And it's been years since we've seen one of those classes. But that's always a fun time to look at the young horses, everything from weanlings up to three-year-olds. And I encourage you to put that on your calendar as well. Next week, I've mentioned before, on June the 6th, Mr. Marty Luffman will be with us, and he'll be talking about his horse, Doc Holliday, his Tennessee walking horse that is winning and competing in the Cowboy Mounted Shooting. And the program is entitled Blazing Saddles and Six Guns. And so that should be a fun show. We'll be talking with Marty about his involvement in that and how well Doc Holliday is performing and representing the walking horse breed in that as well. So we've got some great programming lined up for the month of June. We hope that you'll tune in to Equestrian Legacy Radio every Thursday at noon Central Standard Time. And remember, if you climb in the saddle, get ready for the ride. Thanks for listening.